word. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. We are instructed to be thankful. We're instructed, if I can just be more grateful and more thankful, I'm learning now that I stress less. You know, when I'm stop worried about the things that I don't have and start thanking God for the things that I do have, I notice that I stress less. They call it a stress-less recliner. Have y'all ever seen that? It's called a stress-less recliner. And the concept is once you get in this recliner, it's so comfortable, it's so relaxing that you momentarily forget about all your problems and everything that's going on. It's called a stress-less recliner. But I just want to say that the Word of God is my stress-less recliner. Amen? When I get into it and I get into the Word of God and settle into it, get into a corner, this is my stress-less recliner. The more grateful we become, the more thankful we are, the more we will stress less and stop worrying about things in the world. Is that okay? I want to thank God for just allowing us to come together and assemble today to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to thank God for all the elders here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ who labor in doctrine and word. I pray that God continue to bless you and keep you. And I thank God for our minister, Brother Gary Smith, who has patience. He has patience with me and he labors with me. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12. It says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Everybody among us not laboring. Amen. He said, know them that labor among you and that are over you in the Lord and to esteem them highly in love, to regard them and respect them highly in love, not bettering them up because you want something ulterior motive, but to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. So I just want to thank God for Brother Gary Smith and his patience with me and as the minister here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And I want to thank all those that are visiting with us today. You're truly our honored guests, and we hope, trust, and pray that you hear a word from the Lord. We have something that we wanted you to do. We ask all those that are visiting with us today, if you can please stand. We want to give you a Fifth Ward welcome. You don't have to say anything. We just ask, and all those who are not a member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, could you please stand right now, and we can just give you a Fifth Ward welcome. Amen. 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 We're so glad to have you. We're glad to have you. You could have worshipped anywhere today, but you chose Fifth Ward, and we appreciate it. The book of Psalm, chapter 90, verse number 12. If you have it, say amen. The Bible reads, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The title of the lesson today, the title of the lesson is The Uncertainty of Time. The uncertainty of time. It's the understanding that God is in control of time. It's the understanding that our time here in these physical bodies is limited. Our time is limited. It's the understanding that tomorrow is not promised to no man. There's no guarantee in tomorrow. The uncertainty of time. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1, he says, boast not in thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen today. We don't need to brag on tomorrow and boast on tomorrow because there's no guarantee or certainty that we're going to see tomorrow. Amen. James said in James chapter 4, verse number 13, he says, go to now. It was a way, a term used to grab attention. He said, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They were making plans. But he said, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He said, there is no certainty of tomorrow, this uncertainty of time. He said, for that we ought to say, if the Lord willing, we shall live and do this and that. James was teaching on the uncertainty of time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he said, in everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. God has a purpose for everything, but he has a time attached to that purpose. Amen. No, the uncertainty of time. He said there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Once we understand this uncertainty of time, we begin to put life in its proper perspective. Amen. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, he says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, then after this, the judgment." Everybody, we all, this time that we have in these physical bodies is temporary. But it says, after this, the judgment. So it's more for us than just in this life. We have to understand life after death. And the more I understand this, I look at this, I don't put all my trust in wealth and in possession and in worldly things. I don't put all my joy in wealth and possession and in worldly things. Because when we lose those worldly things, when we lose our possession, then our security is gone. When we lose our possessions, or if we lose all our worldly, then our joy is gone. So if I had all my joy in my things, so then now when I lose my thing, now my joy is gone. But if I put my trust in God, if I put my joy in God, amen, so then we know that this is temporary. Jesus spoke a parable to his disciples in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 13. Jesus said unto them, he said that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought, he said to himself, what shall I do? For I have no room to bestow, where to bestow all my goods. He had prospered so much. He had so much. He didn't know what to do with everything he had. And this is what he said. This will I do. He said, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my goods and all my fruits and my goods. And then I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. He says, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. His retirement plan was looking good. His financial portfolio, everything was looking good. He thought he had it made. Everything was looking good. But God said in verse number 20, God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Then who shall those things be that thy house provided? And so Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. There's nothing wrong with providing for yourself. There's nothing wrong with laying up treasures. There's nothing wrong with providing for your family. But we have to have a spiritual life. We want to be men of faith. We want to be women of faith. Amen. We can't have everything focused on material possessions. All our security and all our joy is in worldly possessions. Because then when we lose them, we lose our joy. We lose everything. But if it's in God, I can lose these things and I still have my joy. I can lose and I still have my security because my trust is in God. He says, so we want to be rich towards God. Amen. Be rich towards God. I was looking at home, but sometimes I drive by and I go do the, when you walk through the homes and I walk through these nice looking homes, these David Weekly homes, these Tilson homes or Sandcastle homes or Legend homes, these different, it's some beautiful homes, beautiful builders. And I go in there and look at these beautiful homes, but I know now that this is temporary. This life, our time here is limited. And I thought about what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, if you believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you where I am, that there you will be also. He said, listen, he has a place prepared for us. I'm thinking about those homes that God is building. You think about one of those homes. That these are some beautiful homes. These are beautiful homes, and there's nothing wrong with having these homes. But think about the home that God is building for us. That don't cost us nothing. All the money in the world can't pay for one of those homes. You got to have faith. You got to live by faith. You got to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, in order to receive that gift. Amen? In order to receive that gift. So I think about those things like that. We can learn from this Psalm chapter 90, verse number 12. This is it's a prayer from Moses. Most scholars that I've read conclude that Psalm chapter 90 is a prayer to Moses. It's a prayer to God from Moses. David did not write all the Psalms. And there are several different authors in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms consists of songs, poems, and prayers. And in these songs, poems, and prayers is praises to God, pleas to God for his safety, for his security, for his guidance. So in these songs and poems and prayers is pleading to God. And in Psalm chapter 90 is a prayer to God from Moses for the children of Israel. And so let's see what we can learn from this prayer. He says, so teach us. The first thing that we can see is that Moses wants God's guidance. Write this down. Seek God's guidance. Seek God's guidance. We know God knows what's best for us. So when he's praying, he said, teach us. He's telling God, I don't want man's guidance and man's wisdom. We want God's, because sometimes we think we know what's best for us. We think the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God's word can lead us into his righteousness, because righteousness is not what I think it is. Righteousness is not what you think it is. Righteousness is what God says it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there's a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So sometimes we can do something that seems right, and then you can go back and look at it and think back, that wasn't the right thing to do at the time. At the time, it seemed like the right thing to do. But so we want to make sure that we go by word of God. We want to be guided and directed by the word of God. Amen. It's not what we think in our heart. I talk to people all the time and they say, well, Brother Van, I just don't think God would allow these things. Just because we don't think it don't mean it won't happen. Right? Jesus said to some Jews in John chapter 5, verse number 39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but it's they that are to testify of me. Just because they was thinking one thing doesn't make it right. So he says now, Moses says now, teach us. He's seeking God's guidance to lead us. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 133, it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Use your word to order my steps. Let me get into the word. Help me to guide the word to God, so the word can guide my life and lead my life. He said, order my steps in thy word. I want to get into God's word and line my life up with God's word. And so that no iniquity have dominion over me. So we won't be slave to any sin. So it'll be no sin that we can't break from that yoke of bondage from. No sin that have control of us that we can't overcome. So, and we know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, that God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom has he has appointed heir over all things, also whom he's made the world. God now gives us his Son. Let me say this. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift you can ever receive. I know this is a season of giving, and we're going to be receiving and giving gifts. Jesus Christ is the best gift, the greatest gift that you can ever receive in your life, because it's in him is eternal life. And God sends his Son not to die on the cross for us only, but also to teach us. He sends him to teach us. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. He said, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So if I want to know God, if I want to get to know God, it's in Jesus. He sends his Son to give us an understanding. All the wisdom we want to know, all the knowledge we want to know about God, it's in Jesus. Not only does he offer us eternal life, but he offers us his wisdom. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. It's no greater gift than eternal life. This time, the uncertainty of time, this time is limited, but there's no greater gift that we can receive than that of Jesus Christ. So he comes and he offers now eternal life, but also God's wisdom and knowledge is contained in Jesus. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 2, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love. He said unto all of the full assurance of understanding, to all the full assurance of unto the knowledge of God, of the Father and of Christ. Verse number 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of his wisdom and knowledge. So it's in Jesus that all what we want to know, that we can help, all that can help us with what we're dealing with in this life or whatever problems we may have, he contained it all in Jesus. We don't need to look any further. I remember when John the Baptist was in prison and he wanted to be certain that Jesus was the one. And he sent two disciples out in Matthew chapter 11. He sent two disciples out to go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus sent him back. He said, go and tell all what you have seen and heard. And in verse number 5, he said that the blind received sight and the lame walked. and the lepers were clean, and the deaf hear, and the dead were raised up, and the poor had the gospel preached. So he said, blessed is he that is not offended, because he said, you don't need to look for nobody else. It's all in Jesus. God, Jesus is the greatest gift that God can give to us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of Jesus. It's all in Jesus Christ. If I want to know the true knowledge of God, I watch these shows sometimes, these HBO shows, and they say they on a quest for knowledge. They on a mission, and they start traveling all the world. I want to call in and tell them, send them to the local Church of Christ. If y'all got a Church of Christ there, just send them to the local, because in Jesus contains all the knowledge and the wisdom that you want to know about God. It's contained in Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon and learn of me. Amen? Learn of me. It's in Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift that any man, and he's a gift that keep on giving. Listen to this. John chapter 16, verse number 23. John 16, 33. Now, he was letting the disciples know he was leaving. Because at that time, when Jesus walked the earth with them, they would ask Jesus everything. If they were on the ship and the waves was coming up too much, they'd wake Jesus up. If somebody's daughter was sick, go get Jesus. If they was hungry, go get Jesus. So when he was there, they asked him Jesus. But he said, I'm not going to be here with you always. But the Father will send the Spirit in my name. And he said, now watch it. Now in that day, verily I say unto you, thou shalt ask me nothing. I'm trying to help somebody so we get our prayers through. Amen. He said, for whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. So we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. And that will he give to you, and he keeps on giving. Amen? So Jesus is a gift that keeps on giving. So we want to write that seek God's guidance, and it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And also, write this down. Write this down. Point number two. We want to utilize our time wisely. Utilize our time wisely. Make the most of our time. The Apostle Paul gave instructions to the saints in Ephesus to utilize the time wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. He says, wherefore, he said, awaken thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He said, awaken thou that sleepeth. It's a spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. It's one thing we can have a zeal of God, but it not to be according to knowledge. People can be excited and enthusiastic about God, but that doesn't put us in his right standing and righteousness. That doesn't, excitement won't get us to heaven. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So the zeal alone and excitement alone won't get us into his knowledge. Amen. So we got to go into the knowledge. So he says, waken thou from thy sleep and arise from thy dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's in Christ that now we come into the light of what God would have for us. And he says, verse number 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, paying attention of every move and every decision that we make. This is how we should walk, not as fools, but as wise men. So now we want to make sure every decision that we do, every decision that we make, we want to make sure it lines up with the will of God. See that we walk in wisdom now. We have this light now, seeing that we walk in wisdom. And he said, in verse 16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil, meaning not the day that is evil, but the influence. Is there is an evil influence among the people. And so we got to watch who we hang around and watch who we be around so we don't have this evil influence. So we redeem in the time. We walk wisely. We want to walk in wisdom. Walk, now that we're walking in the light, and because the days are evil, there's an evil influence, and we don't want that to influence us. We want the Word of God to influence us. Amen? Want the Word, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I got to watch who I'm running with. I got to watch who I'm running with, who I'm talking to, who's advising me, who's influencing me. And I want to be influenced by the Word of God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, he said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We want to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. If all his knowledge is in Christ, all his wisdom is hid and contained in Christ, we want to let those words influence us. Spiritual songs that's going to get, we got to watch some of these songs and things we listen to. What's influenced? What are we mostly putting? He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means most of what I should have coming into me is the word of Christ. Amen. That's why I don't want to miss Wednesday night Bible study. We don't want to miss worship. We don't want to miss any, because we know we want to have this coming into us constantly, the words of Christ dwelling you richly and teaching. Then not only that, he says teaching one another. So not only do I get these words, I come out, but now I take it out and I go and I teach it. Amen. So we don't just come sit in there and listen and don't apply it to our life and then don't go share it. Is that all right? So we get this word and let it dwell in us richly, and then we take it out and we go and share it. We utilize our time wisely. This is what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 6. He said, in these words which I command thee this day, thou shalt be in thy heart. He said, they should always be in your heart, these words that I command unto you. He said, thou shalt teach them diligently unto our children. You see this? And he says, teach us diligently unto our children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. We're going to have, it's a lot of visitors, and it's a lot, people have people into their house, family members over their house during these holiday seasons, kids over, uncles, nephews, nieces. What are we going to do with this time? He says, as they sit and talk of them when they sit in the house. So we want to utilize our time wisely, and we have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. That which should come out of us. We should utilize that time, especially with our kids. Our kids are being influenced. The days of evil mean it's an evil influence. So we're going to redeem the time. We're going to walk circumspectly. We're going to walk with wisdom, because we don't want them to be influenced by this world. But if we're not feeding them nothing, and we're not teaching them nothing, we're not giving, the world is going to feed them. Does it make sense? The world is going to feed them. He says, when in the house, and he says, when I walk by thy way, this is every opportunity, when thou lie down. You know, right before I go to sleep, we're watching something that's the wrong spirit. And when I go to sleep, and that shouldn't be the last thing on my mind. You cut that TV off, but then as you sleep, that image is still in your head. We got to watch before they lie down, before we put, what are we saying to them? What are we putting in their mind before they go to sleep? What kind of influence are we giving to them? We can't let some negative, evil influence be on their mind as they go to sleep. And then he says, when they wake up, and when you rise up, we want to put some word. We're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Amen. Amen. Teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. And then write this down. We must put our priorities in proper order. Sometimes our priorities mixed up. The things that's most important shouldn't be most important to us. We need to switch it up and make our faith our priority. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that prompt. God is going to do his part. I need to do my part. If I'm going to be a man of faith, we're going to be women of faith, we got to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Amen? For he is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approach. See, we understand the uncertainty of time. We understand that this time is limited. So we don't forsake coming together. Our priorities are in order. Amen? We got our priorities in the right order. My faith is top on my priority. I'm a man of faith. And so we're going to come together, and we're going to encourage each other, because we know that the time is limited. We understand the uncertainty of time, that tomorrow is not promised to no man. Amen? And Jesus understood this. He said in John chapter 9, verse number 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man. He understood the uncertainty of time. That God, ultimately God is in control of time. That we have a limited amount of time in these physical bodies. So he had his priorities in right perspective. Amen? Amen. He had his priorities. I remember Jesus went and taught in the temple. It says in the midst of the feast. Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I want us to look at this. John chapter 7. Verse number 10. It says that Jesus went up. He said, listen to this. He said, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast. Not openly, but as it were in secret. He sent his disciples up to the feast. This was a feast of tabernacle. It was a Jewish festival going on. And he sent him up there, but he didn't go with him. He went after him. He went not announcing anything. Say, he went not openly, but in secret. He was watching and observing. And he says, listen to verse number 11. He says, then the Jews sought him at the feast, saying, where is he? Now they was looking for him. They had different reasons. Some wanted to see him rested. Some wanted to hear more of what he had to say. It was different reasons. And listen to this, verse number 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Watch this. For some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, he deceiveth the people. People always got things to say about, you know, people always going to have their opinions. People come up to me and say, well, Jesus is just a myth. The devil is a liar. Jesus ain't no myth. I mean, but that's their opinions. That's some say he was a good man. Some say he was a deceiver. But I, as a man of faith and as a woman of faith, we got to be able to stand firm and say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when they was at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? His disciples said, some say you John the Baptist. Some say you Elijah. Some say you Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He turned to his disciples and he said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We got to look and be able to say, who do you say he is? Because a lot of people come up to us and they're going to say a lot of things. I get people on my job, they come up and they bring me books on why they don't believe what they believe. They bring me books, well, hey, this is why I don't believe that. Then they give me another book, well, this is why I don't believe that. Then they give me another, and I say, man, what do you believe? Some people don't believe nothing. They got a bunch of books on why they don't believe nothing. But when we can't follow that, we can't be influenced by that. We got to be able to stand firm and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And all them books of doubt, that's what I call them, books of doubt. We need to be men of faith, women of faith. Because then when we lose, if we lose our possessions, our joy is not lost. Because it's in God. Our joy is in God. Our security is in God. Amen? So we don't fall apart when we lose everything like people who have no hope. Amen? So listen to this. And he said, verse number 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. He was looking at his disciples. He was watching them. Listen to this. Verse number 14. Verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Some translations say in the middle of the feast or halfway through the feast. Look at this. He had his priorities in a proper order. I used to have to wait till the party shut down. I needed to see the lights come on. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But now we got to be able now to get up and say, it's okay to go to the feast. He was there, but his priorities was in the right. Don't let these holidays and these parties get your priorities be misplaced. Amen? He said in the midst of why it was going on, he got up and went in the temple and talked. He knew where his priorities lie. We need to know, no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of party, what kind they doing, we know that, hey, I'm not missing Wednesday night Bible study. I'm not missing worship, sir. My faith is my priority. Jesus had his priorities in a proper order. It didn't matter what was going on. This is people of faith. When you have people of faith, that won't stop us. That won't deter us because our priorities in the right spot. Amen? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The priority in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4, God talking about the church in Ephesus. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. the priority and purpose. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You see this first priority that we have? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23, he said, there when I bring thy gift unto the altar, and there thou rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave thy gift and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer it. Our priorities got to be in line. Amen. We got to have our priorities to line up with the will of God. That we can't let these influences out here in the world take us away from our first priorities. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18 through 19, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, teach them what I taught you. See, sometimes we teach them what the world teach. And I know this is a day, you know, it's a holiday season. And some people say, well, Christmas is just honoring Jesus and the different ways we honor him. But what did he teach? We want to honor him the way he taught us. I remember Paul saying 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, for I received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the same night, and when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This you do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We proclaim the Lord. We glorify the Lord. We honor the Lord. Do it the way he said do it. If we want to honor Jesus Christ, honor him the way he said honor him. Does that make sense? He said, teach him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Sometimes we're teaching our kids to observe things that Christ didn't even command for us to observe. Does it make sense? So we want to make sure our priorities are in their proper order. All right? So when we understand this uncertainty of time, that God is in control of time, and that our time here is limited, and that tomorrow is not promised to no man. And because of that uncertainty of time, we put life in its proper perspective. And so we can take that prayer from Moses said, and we can seek God's guidance. We can utilize our time wisely, teaching our kids, and we can have our priorities in the proper perspective. Does that make sense? I remember reading John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he heard behind him a great voice like a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he said, thou, what thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, and to the church in Ephesus, and Smyrna, and Thyatira, and Pergamos, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. He said, write what you see down and send it to them. And I'm reminded, he said in Revelation chapter 10, verse number 5. Revelation chapter 10, verse number 5. He said, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth. He had one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth. And he lifted up his hand toward the heaven. He lifted up his hand toward the heaven unto him that liveth, and he swear by him that liveth forever. He said, what I'm doing now, this is by God's authority. And he swear by him that live forever, who created the heavens and everything that's in therein, created everything that's in the earth therein, and all things which are in the sea. And he said that there should be time no longer. The uncertainty of time. One day, God is going to stop time. Time is going to stop and eternity is going to start. We have this understanding of the uncertainty of, we don't know when it's. Tomorrow's not promised to nobody. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 36, he said, but of that day knoweth no man. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven. But my Father, only God know. But my Father know this uncertainty of time. Well, the more I understand that, teach us, Lord, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Is that all right? So we want to understand this, that understand tomorrow is not promised to any man, and that we're going to live our life with faith and live it according to the will of God. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, let me say this. Jesus offers a peace that this world cannot offer. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give. give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's saying the world can't offer the type of peace that God can offer. You're not going to find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it in drugs and sex and money and titles. And this world doesn't have it to give. He said the peace that he gives, this world does not have it to give. Amen. And he said, so whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, I'll liken them to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. So Jesus saying it'll be wise to do what he said do. But first he said, whosoever hear these sayings of mine. So first we got to hear it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear the word of God. We want to be influenced by God's word, not by man's word. And then we got to believe what we heard. John said in John chapter 20, verse number 30, he said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through him. So we got to believe what we heard. And then we got to be willing to repent. We got to turn away from that life and say, I want to live a life of faith. I want to live a life in right eyesight with God. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, he said, for the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Jesus wants everybody to come to repentance. He's patient with us. And then we got to be willing to confess him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. We got to be willing to confess Jesus Christ. We got to be willing to tell all these naysayers and these doubters that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sin, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. We got to be willing to say that. And then we got to be baptized for the remission of our sins. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, they asked him, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this comes through Jesus Christ. In the name, Jesus Christ is the best gift that we could ever receive. So when we go out and we talk to people, give them Jesus. Tell them about the peace that's found in Jesus. And then you can receive that gift today. Amen. We can baptize you today and you will receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the best gift you'll ever receive. You will receive that today. If you want to do that, you come down today and we'll baptize you today in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer, you come down.